Podcast. My name is Gabriella, and I am your host. We are back today with another psychedelic session. I am so excited to have this conversation. Myself and today's guest had a conversation previously, and it was just amazing. So I'm looking forward to see where today's episode is going to go. Without further ado, welcome to the Glove Podcast, Lizzie. Feel free to take a moment to introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Lizzie Southard. I'm a student in Virginia, and I've been a psychonaut for many years and have just been exploring using psychedelics as medicine for a couple of months now. And I'm really excited to be here.
Right on. We're excited to have you. Let's start with psychonaut. Why do you define yourself, or why do you identify as a psychonaut?
I think because I've just, since a very, very young age, been very curious about altered states of consciousness and then the use of psychedelics to enhance that or to facilitate it. It happens quickly, but with the use of psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been something that's always been a part of my life.
Right on, yeah. And so it's been a couple of months, is that what you said? It's been a couple of months since you've sort of started on your journey with psychedelics?
Since I've started microdosing psychedelics.
Gotcha, cool. And are you microdosing today?
I am, yes.
Right on. Is that psilocybin that you're microdosing? Or?
No, I am microdosing LSD.
Right on. I think we'd had a conversation previously around trying out a different way of measuring out the LSD. Have you done that this time around?
No, I didn't get to that, but I did find a better pair of scissors, and so I got to cut them down very specifically into smaller pieces, all almost exactly the same size, so it's like 1/6 of a tab. Before I was getting like different size chunks and really only getting like 5 pieces out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely the smallest microdose I've taken since I began in October.
Right on. Do you find that, are you finding that the experience is different now that you're taking a bit less?
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely not feeling quite as much of a, I'm just not feeling quite as much. Yeah. I think it's situation dependent. And for what I'm doing today, which is a lot of homework, it's a good thing. Yeah.
She went for about 0.725, and I could really feel that. I mean, and when I say that, I mean that at one point I was having trouble putting sentences together because I felt like my brain was just so focused on very specific things that when I tried to deviate from that process, I was having a hard time just formulating sentences in my mind. And so I was a little slow, specifically with different conversations throughout the day yesterday. And that's okay. That's sort of, part of the process. I'm definitely, in my experience, I'm finding that, you know, I know what my limits are. I know what works for me. And I kind of want to see if I can kind of push it a little to see if that will have, better results for me in terms of like working with LSD. So that's where I'm at. I'd love to hear, tell us your story. How did psychedelics come into your life? And by that I mean specifically using psychedelics or plants for the purpose of assisting you in your growth and in your journey in life.
Well, the first time I ever took any psychedelics, it was psilocybin, and it was at a Grateful Dead show. And I honestly didn't feel very much. And I don't know if that was because there was three of us and we divided up a small amount, or whatever it was, maybe it was just not very high grade, but I had throughout the whole show this feeling of like almost being somewhere and not quite there. So it was a little bit frustrating, but I was definitely intrigued to try again. The next time it came in back into my life, it was through LSD. And the guy I was dating, who had a very solid connection. And so that was the first time I had tried LSD. I was a little tiny bit nervous, but not really. I don't really have a lot of fear around it. I was expecting a very spiritual experience. I was with somebody I trusted. The set and setting was perfect, and it was just a beautiful time. I remember the just laying out in a field, staring at the stars, feeling like I was part of the universe, feeling like really being able to see strands of connectivity between myself, the people I was with, the stars in the sky, and the plants and trees around us, seeing strands of sound, colors. It was incredibly visual, whereas the psilocybin wasn't. And then in further experiences with psilocybin, I've never had very visual experiences. Psilocybin's always made me more, it's more of a body feeling, and I feel slow, whereas LSD was much more motivating. And definitely visual, which I really liked the most. And the thoughts, just the way that my brain thought while I was on
That is so
macrodose
interesting
psilocybin
that you share
LSD.
that your experiences with psilocybin are not nearly as visual as your experiences with LSD, which is pretty much the opposite for me. I most certainly can't help but hallucinate with psilocybin,
Well,
a significant amount. And that tends to take up, a lot of my attention during those experiences, which I mean, I would love to have more of a body experience with psilocybin because I know that there's a ton of benefit there. I mean, there's so much value that I gain from those experiences, and it's often a sort of cat and mouse game with like between myself and the myself, the part of me that wants to be sort of introspective and learn or just kind of be present to the experience, and then the part of me that's super distracted by the visuals, because they can be distracting. I would love to hear more about what you mean when you say the way your brain works on LSD.
I see a lot of patterns. I make a lot of connections between, well, whatever my brain has gravitated to, I will start to see a lot of patterns. And that's something that naturally I already was able to do. So it just kind of enhanced that more. Yeah. But like listening to music, for example, I would actually see the patterns in the sound. Sometimes it would, those patterns would be color-coded, for lack of a better word, but I started to understand how musicians will always say that music is like math. It's math. It's the division of time. And I never got that because I was terrible at math in high school. And then while on a acid trip, one day I saw it. And that has never left me. It's only been built upon since then. So that's one of the things where I really noticed a change of my thoughts. Also, the connection between everything from the ant on the ground to a black hole that you can't even see way up in the universe. Those thoughts made me more resilient in veganism, and treating all life in every form with maybe extreme empathy. Like, if there is a bug in my house, I don't care what it is, I'm not going to kill it. I will capture it and release it outside. If there's a bug in, you know, like sometimes you'll be drinking a glass of wine and you'll look in there and there's a little like fruit fly or something in there, I'll get it out, put it on a piece of tissue paper, blow on it, and then once it's dried off and come back to life, I send it on its way, where most people would either dump it out or just drink it. But that, I mean, I knew that little critter was still alive. It was just wet and could not move. So if I could dry it off and resuscitate it, that I would be able, that it just made me feel better. And I really have, because of experiences like that with LSD, I have a deeper compassion for all types of life and people and belief systems and the differences between cultures and just, I just feel like it's allowed me to let go of any prejudices I may have had, to the degree that I'm aware of. I know that I probably still have some that haven't come to the surface yet. I'm not trying to say that I'm free of all judgment, but I'm definitely aware of things like that and try to remain conscious. And I've also found that because of all these thoughts and connecting myself with the rest of the world, it's also allowed me to become much more outspoken about it, that if I see inhumanity happening, I have no tolerance, and I have to say something. It will be said compassionately and as gently as I can, with, but not in any way apologetic. So I think that's also been something that benefited me from the way my brain started working.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Introducing psychedelics.
I mean, it sounds like it's really enhanced your connection to your compassionate side and your empathetic side, and it's made you more aware and also more motivated to align your actions with that awareness of the sort of value of life in all things on this planet, which is a truly beautiful thing. And that brings up a thought for me. I've had several, you know, journeys with LSD, and this is, you know, in addition to microdosing. And in those journeys specifically, I find that LSD really creates the sort of space, the mental headspace for me to reflect on a lot of things in a different way. And that I've come away with so many realizations and just beautiful moments of understanding things from a different angle, which has opened me up to actually feeling grateful for those various things. Whereas before, I was still sort of holding some sort of emotion around those things. So as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, wow, that's beautiful. So that's one of the things that for you, LSD has increased the presence of in your life, and that's compassion and empathy and acting in that way. Do you find that with microdosing, like say, you know, you're microdosing today, say you microdosed 3 days ago or whatever the last time was, do you find that throughout your day as you know, you're moving through your day and your brain is processing things a little differently, maybe making different neural connections. Are there also realizations that you're having throughout that period? So really what I'm asking is, do you find that microdosing is also creating space for you to have more realizations? And if so, how do you feel about them? Tell me more about them. Share whatever it is that you feel like sharing in that respect.
Yeah, I've definitely, even at micro levels, I feel that I'm more creative with the way that I'm processing thought, like the ability to see things from multiple angles is there at macro levels and remains there at micro levels. And I've noticed also that so one thing that when I first started microdosing, I was doing a lot of roller skating, and while on microdose, which was probably maybe it would be like, I don't know if it would really be a microdose, but it was like a quarter of a hit. I would be able to, well, my endurance was incredible. And then being able to just know in my kinesthetic awareness how to do something that I'd never tried before or been instructed to do, I would know how to do it. I could see it in my head, and I would do it. And that was really amazing to me, that I could, on a macro dose, I couldn't do that because the pavement would be like warping and you know, it would not happen. But on micro levels, it just, there's just enough to let me visualize it, see it in my head, know how it's supposed to feel, and have the courage to just do it. And it feels really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Truly a wonderful thing to experience. And I've noticed some of the classes I'm taking are extremely creative, and it definitely helps with that. But others that I'm mm-hmm. taking currently are IT based, and I was very intimidated by IT. And these were prerequisites, so I had to take them. But when I'm doing the homework and I've microdosed, or it's the day after a microdose, I don't know how it happens, but
mm-hmm.
it starts to make sense. Like it clicks. And all of this is virtual, so there's nobody really instructing me. I'm just doing lab assignments. But I start to actually have the ability to visualize what is truly happening on a unseeable. I mean, we're talking about like frequencies that are not seen with the naked eye. I mean, you can see the cables coming into your house and connecting to your modem router, but being able to see how the connections are happening inside the computer and how all the ones and zeros are turning into numbers and letters, like those insights are just kind of like flashing into my head, and it's like mm-hmm. I'll have little epiphanies with that as well. So that's been beneficial. I just before I started talking to you, took a test and didn't study for it at all. Figured I was just gonna go on what felt mm-hmm. right in my gut and trying to visualize it. And
nice.
It was just 10 questions and you get instantly graded, and I got 100. And so I'm like, I don't really know how I really know this, but I do. I don't know that I could really explain it to anybody, but I am getting a deeper understanding, and I'm sure the more I learn about it in class, the more those mm-hmm. connections
yeah.
will.
It's really interesting. Just to backtrack to the anecdote that you shared about roller skating, I'm like, what that brought on for me was this sense that there's an implication that when the brain is sort of, or the mind is visualizing a particular, like a series of steps involved in executing something, and that would be like maybe, I don't know, a particular roller skate move, there's the act of visualizing it and sort of having that visual of what that network of connections looks like. And then there's the other layer to that, which is the execution. And it sounds like with LSD for you, there's a sort of like rapid how do I phrase this? It seems like those connections on those different levels, those different layers, are happening very rapidly. And that's really cool. And it makes me wonder, you know, is there an implication there that information was already stored in the brain, and the brain was sort of taking bits and pieces of the information that was there and then creating these new connections? Because otherwise, you know, if you hypothetically, I guess a better example would be what you just shared about this test that you took, and I think one of the things you said was, I'm not sure how I knew this stuff. And so, like, if you're not sure how you know that stuff, where did the information come from? And you must have picked up on the information at some point. Otherwise, I'm just not sure how the brain would have, like the criteria for actually coming up with these new connections. And if the information is in your brain, then really it's just a matter of accessing it. And so maybe LSD is like helping your brain to access that information more rapidly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I've never taken any classes in skating. I have watched it, like in the Olympics, figure skating, and tried doing it all just, on my bare feet at home, doing some of the moves. But I'm not on any unbalanced surface, like on roller skates or ice skates, but I guess I have seen it. So I, and when I've seen other skaters do it, do things, I do learn easily by watching. So like I could read something 100 times and it's not going to connect, but if I watch somebody do it, then I'll be able, I'll have a better chance of being able to do it. So if I've seen somebody do it either on a video or at a roller rink or at the parking lot where I skate, then I would assume I'm not consciously thinking, oh, I want to remember this so that I can do it, but that is, my brain has seen it, so it's stored in there somewhere, and then I can, it just comes out when I want it to, because I do know what it should look like. And then I feel like I know what it would feel like how you, where I would need to be shifting balance, and what I would have to do, what it would actually feel like to do that movement, which I haven't ever done. So I don't know where that information comes from other than imagination. But then that all connects, and I can do it. I mean, not beautifully. It's not like I try it once and now I'm like destined for greatness, but I can do it, and with more and more practice. And a lot of it is the fear of even trying that stops a lot of people from doing a lot of things in life. But I think that having seen it done before, having a kinesthetic process that goes along with that of knowing how it will feel to do it right, and then having the courage to just give it a go. It is really, it seems like magic to me, but I know it's, like you were saying, I mean, it's neural connections that are happening very quickly that just seem like magic because it is so quickly. It's
There's
just
this thing that this
within
great
seconds.
scientist says. I'm paraphrasing, but I think it's Richard Dawkins, if I'm not mistaken. But it's something along the lines of the universe is magic, or it's a miracle, something like that. And that's to say, yeah, there's just because there's a there's a way of scientifically explaining something doesn't make it any less magical. It's still magical. It's still, a miracle. It's worthy of being called a miracle, at least as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't take away from the magic of it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. That reminds me actually of something else that happened on more of a macro dose, but I've always dabbled in witchcraft, Wicca, and then I got very skeptical about it. I just knew some people who I wasn't really trusting. I thought they were just, you can pick up cues by asking leading questions, things like that, if you're trying to do a tarot reading or any sort of divination. And then I started studying quantum physics and just reading a lot of books on string theory, chaos theory. And on one trip, I remember my friend and I, we were just looking at our tarot decks, and I can't remember exactly what the process was, but I knew that science was magic. It explained how, like, something like manifestation happens, like, to a degree, the we can what we believe becomes reality. How that can seem like magical thinking, but also can be explained by science. And that one trip really connected those dots, where it bridged the gap, where I wasn't like, oh, I mean, sure, there's some people who are scamming the witchy system. But for me, I realized that it wasn't all charlatans. That there is actually, I mean, there's a reason why it's happening, and it's
Yeah, right on.
explained
Can you elaborate on
within
that?
quantum
How is it
physics.
explained in quantum physics?
I know, I was afraid you were going to ask that. Well, yeah, I don't know. But it, because, all right, I know that because things happen, thoughts are actual things. They're sending out a current or like a wavelength, just like our conversation right now is happening through wavelengths, radio waves and such. And so those principles of your thought being a actual thing that could be measured, either by looking at the brain or, I don't know, some other highly evolved testing, that's at a quantum level. I mean, we can't see that our thought is a thing, but we can see a result of that when something that we have set an intention towards becomes a reality in our life. And also that, like, things they're doing with the at CERN, kind of scares me a little bit with that Large Hadron Collider. But I do think that we there's so much we don't know about our bodies, our and the frequencies that each person vibrates to, and and how that information is translated out in the world. Or, I mean, like some people are, they'll walk by a light and it goes out. There's a reason for that. I was just reading about it and I've forgotten, but some people have such a strong electromagnetic frequency mm-hmm. that will yeah. literally make light bulbs blow out. So, I mean, that's all physics. I mean, but I've known people who do that and they'll mm-hmm. say, I'm magic because I can do this. But it is magic
mm-hmm.
because, like Richard Dawkins said, science is magic. And I don't think that I would have not even really understood it, that it would be so embedded in me if I hadn't been exploring mm-hmm. psychedelics for as long as I had. And I've been doing it for over a decade now. So it's just like repeatedly reinforcing what I'm learning when I'm not on psychedelics. And then it's just getting deeper into my subconscious. And then when I am on psychedelics, it's much easier to access or visualize mm-hmm. it. Like I can really see what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say to you in my head.
I love it. It's much harder to explain. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe you're better at writing things. That could be it, or expressing it in a different way. Or maybe it's because you're microdosing today. that might be why.
Well, I think I think it's more that I'm talking about something that I probably should have been a little more prepared to talk about, like on that level. It's easier for me to, I do write and I am good at writing, but also speaking, but I do, it's better if I kind of have a little outline of the points I want to make, whereas this is more free form. And so, yeah, and the psychedelics are probably adding a little bit to that as well. Although if I don't feel at all.
Yeah. So I want to open up the floor for you to kind of share anything that you want to share. But before we do that, I have a couple of questions for you. It's really one question with, it's two ends of one question. And this question is in reference, not just to how you feel about psychedelics on a personal level in your own life, but also, on a cultural level, in society, just a larger, bigger picture. The question is, what scares you about psychedelics and what excites you?
What excites me about psychedelics is that for a very long time we've known that it has amazing capabilities to transform our brain and our ways of thinking and experiencing the world and connecting or creating greater empathy for others, like the work that Timothy Leary mm-hmm. was doing back in the 60s before everything got shut down. What scares me, at first I didn't even think I had an answer for that, but then what scares me is the other way that they had used mm-hmm. psychedelics back in the 60s for mind control, because it does mm-hmm. make the brain very open and susceptible. So I think that that's not really a fear on a micro level, but on a macro level, I think that in the wrong hands, people could use it for the wrong reasons, or, you know, for, I mean, I don't want to say they're wrong reasons, but they're not altruistic. And I think that it's exciting that we as a country and as a world are recognizing the benefits of microdosing for mental health issues. And Silicon Valley has known for a long time the benefits of it for just problem solving. That's all really exciting, and I hope that we continue to legalize, not just in the U.S. where I'm located, but throughout the world, plants first. I mean, plants, I think, just naturally would be first because they're plants. Mm-hmm. They're what we're already here. They're not synthetic, and you're not going to have all those FDA kind of things. But eventually, making LSD legal again. And yeah, otherwise, I don't have any fears of it, other than
control. I assume that that's probably not specifically the mind control part, but I assume that the fears would be around, you know, things that could happen with psychedelics potentially on a macro level. I figured that's probably where the concerns might be. And that makes sense. And I did an episode yesterday, and the guest on had actually mentioned the exact same thing. And I'm not personally very familiar with that part of what was happening in the 60s or 70s. So I can't really speak on it other than, you know, this is sort of what I've heard of it. Do you know much about it? Is that something you can explain? Oh, okay. All
right. Well, I think it was actually in the 50s, and it was the CIA, and it was MK Ultra, and they were. Let me think. Why were? Basically, have you seen the movie? The Manchurian Candidate. Okay, so, you know, so they were trying to program people to be just one word or an image would trigger them to do something that otherwise they would not be conscious that they were going to do. They wouldn't do it if they, you know, knew that was some part of their assignment. And in the process of doing these experiments, in particular, one man, they were dosing him so hard daily. And he did not know. These people in the trials, they didn't know at all that they were being given the substance. So, of course, they start to think they're going crazy. And this guy, he jumped out of a building, like, many, many stories up, right through the glass, because he was just freaking out, you know, and which is... To me, that the whole what they were doing with those experiments, I hope would never be allowed to be done again because consent is very important. And when you're dealing with such a powerful substance, which they knew it was a powerful substance, that to not tell somebody that they're taking it and to expect better outcomes is just foolish. I mean, if you gave anybody, especially somebody who's kind of an uptight, or not, all right, that's a judgmental kind of, but somebody who likes to have a sense of control over things, and is the type who would say, I would never take any psychedelic, or has tried once and hated it, and then unknowingly they're being given heroic doses of it daily, and they don't know they're going to think they're crazy, and it seems criminal.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I certainly didn't know about the details of that particular story. And I didn't know that they weren't aware that they were participating in this dosage. I assume it was LSD. I thought they knew. I thought they were willingly participating in, and it just so happened that the objective was maybe not a good one, but I had no idea. They didn't know. I can imagine if someone gave me a tab of acid every day for some time, I would most certainly lose grip on my sanity, because I wouldn't be able to, I mean, I'd have no way of explaining the experiences that I was having. Yeah.
Exactly. Although little bit in the drinking water kind of counterbalances the fluoride. And I think that might be a good thing. If every, just like super, super little doses were in our drinking water, especially people in government, it might help them find resolutions quicker, rather than endless debates, filibustering, and getting nowhere.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it, a little bit. I mean, hey, even you know more than that. If even more than that, I'm sure. I think lots of people, lots of things would change if many more people had experiences with psychedelics.
Yeah, even if it was at a such a little level, just to introduce them, and then you know they can take it from there. But at levels like what you're taking, and true microdose levels, which are quote unquote subperceptual, it wouldn't be scary. So it might arouse curiosity to try a little bit more or a little bit more, finding their threshold rather than ruling it out completely as something that they would never take because it makes you crazy. You know, I used to hear this story that some kid took too many hits of acid and now he's in an insane asylum. He thinks he's a glass of orange juice. I mean, it's like an urban legend. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't believe that. And I've taken a lot at one time and never came down. But I did have a friend in college who we were at a party where, I mean, everybody knew you don't drink the drinks that this frat would give you because it was going to be dosed. But I don't know how she missed that information, and I was already on like 500 milligrams or I had taken 5 hits, and she came up to me and I could just look at her eyes and tell what was going on and asked her if she had had any of the drinks out of the red Solo cups, and she was like, yes. And so I got her out of that environment. We went back to the dorm. And I was like, you know, this is what's happening. You're just going to have to go with it because it's going to last a while. So let's just make the most of it. And within, you know, at the end of it, she was laughing. She had a great time as the ceiling melted on her. And she, I mean, and ended up being wanting to do it a lot more often. So, I mean, I've seen people get it unknowingly, and it totally freaks you out. But if there's somebody there who understands and can guide you through it, that makes a huge difference. In the case of the MK Ultra experiments, there was nobody guiding them, and it had devastating consequences. Not on everybody, I don't think, but for sure on that one guy. And if you just Google MK Ultra experiments, it will come up, and his story will come up because it was quite famous.
I don't think I've ever Googled MK Ultra. Maybe I have in the last decade. I know that there are a lot of different kinds of conspiracy theories out there that tend to reference things like MK Ultra, and I think it's out of context. Probably, I mean, I'd never, you know, up until yesterday, which is when I did that other episode, when that guest brought it up, I had no idea that LSD was involved in MK Ultra, because all I'd ever kind of seen of it was this, like, you know, vague series of conspiracy theories around mind control. Yeah, exactly. None of which really made a whole lot of sense to me. And I mean, I had a tough time making sense of it. I tried, but I couldn't make sense of it. But yeah, there was no mention of LSD whatsoever. So it's definitely interesting how this one concept or an event carries different meanings to different people. And that's why research is so important. You got to do your research.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you do. And and like when we started and you asked me about being a psychonaut, I mean, I've always been, I mean, even when I was like 10, very interested in altered states of consciousness, and found out about psychedelics at a really early age. And in all that research, like, I came across the MK Ultra stuff. And there's a lot of information out there, and I wouldn't take anything without researching it first. I would recommend that to anybody. I mean, people, I have recommended microdosing too. I've sent them tons of links to podcasts, websites, and said, you know, I will help you no further on this quest until you've done a lot of research, because it's, even if you've experimented with it 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you need to know what you're doing to your body and how it might not be the right thing for you if you're looking for a specific
outcome. Absolutely. On that note, in all of your research and all of your experience, what is something or some things that come to mind that you think most people don't know about psychedelics or about one of these psychedelics? A bit of information that you don't think a lot of people know.
I think that there's a big stereotype that think that it will mess your head up more than straighten your head out. So I think that's one thing that
that's so beautifully put. Just
they don't understand.
I mean, the research that's out there indicates that it does more straightening out than it does messing up.
Right. But if you're not if you've already, you know, decided and that you know, because maybe you're anti-drug or whatever, you're not going to look at any research, or you will disqualify the research because it doesn't fit into your, you know, own personal biases of what's right. But yeah, so I do think that's what people tend to, one of the things that people.
Yeah, I love that line. I'm going to quote line from you. That's a great line. So tell me something. Feel free to take this moment or the next moments to just share anything that you feel you want to share around psychedelics or what you want to talk about.
Well, I would encourage everyone, if you have any sort of mental health issues, specifically like depression and anxiety, to do some research and see if microdosing might be something for you. I can say that with LSD, it can be anxiety provoking, especially if you're not familiar with it. But I think that if you are somebody who's dealing, I mean, and there's tons of people right now dealing with mental health problems, that it would be worth looking into. It's definitely helped me with depression, that literally had me for almost a full year in my bed. And then I started I got some roller skates, and then I very soon after got some LSD, and it just began, like, I felt like I had recovered a part of myself that I had when I was much younger. Like, I feel like a sense of play, of youthfulness, of discovery, all of that inspiration, it's all come back, where I thought that it was just gone, that just ended after you turned 30. You know, your life is over now. You're just a robot to the man. And it's not true. Don't believe it. It might not be for everybody. Maybe meditation or flotation tanks or something like that is more the path. But I do think, especially with depression, that it's definitely worth exploring. And as long as you're wise about sourcing it, there's not really much to be afraid of. And especially with psilocybin, that's something that, I mean, you can grow that yourself. But it is a major felony in most places.
Oh,
except for Portugal. Portugal's pretty much a free place for that. So we should all move to Portugal. It's against the law, but they don't enforce it at all. But here, I mean, if you get busted with like one tab of acid, it's a felony charge and like a lot of jail time for, yes, and I'm in Virginia. Yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, laws are changing. Things are progressing. You know, we have some states that are have already decriminalized or legalized psilocybin, and even more who have done that with cannabis. And I see a world soon where these substances will be viewed more as medicine than party drugs or something.
I'm with you. You know, I just criminal. Thank you for sharing all of that. That was wonderful, by the way. I just that last bit that you shared, it made me think of this sort of timeline of you know, for humanity, of going from believing the earth is flat to believing it it's round, you know, or scientifically proving that it's round, rather. And then, you know, now we have a ton of people, or a number of people, who believe it's flat again. And so if we can go from flat earth to round earth to flat earth, you know, I'm sure there's room for legalizing many of these things.
Yes. That's a great analogy. Yeah, we can go from, it's okay, it was legal. I mean, it was legal in the 60s. Then totally illegal.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can find our way back around to that sanity, whereas the other way, it kind of like went from insane to sane and back to insane. Like, I don't get the flat earthers, but it's interesting to me, like, that they think that way. But yeah, I agree with you.
Well, that was an incredible conversation. Thank you so much, Lizzie. There was a number of things that we covered there. I would love to hear more about your experiences, and maybe we can do that some other time. I assume those. Okay, right on. I assume those were your final thoughts, but if you have any additional further thoughts, now would be the time.
Well, I mean, I could go on and on, but I do think that this is a good ending point. And I had a great time. Thanks for inviting me on the pod. And anytime you want to talk about that or anything else, I love to talk psychedelics.
right on.
And the creative process too. So
beautiful. Beauty. All right. Yes. Well, thank you. And we'll catch you next time. Yeah.
All right. Take care.
And that was another episode of the Glove Podcast. That was another psychedelic session, and that was great. I learned a few new things, specifically around MKUltra. I had no idea. I just have absolutely no idea. And a number of other things really stood out to me. I really appreciated the conversation. It also, you know, I think that Lizzie just has these incredible use cases and examples of the benefits of microdosing LSD specifically. I mean, you know, the different stories that she has to share, these anecdotes of the effects of LSD on her brain and the way her brain goes about processing things, either more rapidly or simply, you know, making new neural connections. That is just incredible. And I think, you know, it makes me wish that there was more of that out there, available and accessible to people. Just, and by that I mean these examples, these real life examples of how this actually works and the effects on the brain and how that sort of symbiotic relationship between LSD and the brain and life. You know, and it's just really beautiful. I mean, could you imagine watching some roller skating, you know, watching some moves and then being able to visualize it and being able but you also can aesthetically make those connections without having ever done it before. I mean, that is just incredible. And, you know, that might be a more extreme example, but it's still, at least in my opinion, it still drives the point home that there is tremendous benefit in working with LSD, working with psychedelics, some more so than others. And if you're feeling called to it, really, you know, if you've been doing the research, keep going, keep at it, and do experiment in a safe, of course, in a safe way, understanding that there is truly an opportunity here with psychedelics to improve our lives, to optimize our brain or our mind, and you know, it's just a matter of being responsible about it and holding ourselves accountable for doing it in an ethical way as well, which is the other thing that we brought up and that, you know, ties right back into MKUltra. Anyway, thank you for listening. Shout out to Lizzie for coming on and being a guest today. I appreciate all the support and the feedback, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Glove Podcast.